All right, so today I'm going to be talking about repentance, and be sure to test everything I'm saying, make sure it lines up. This is what I've found through my studies, and I'm always open to switching some things around, changing a few things if I may have misstated them. So we'll start first with, what is the word repentance in the Greek? It's metanoia, and it means, compunction for guilt, including reformation, by implication, reversal of another's decision. So it's more than just feeling sorry for your previous wrongs. Repentance is a complete change of mind. It's a reversal of decision. In the military, when you get a command to repent, it indicates a 180-degree turn from the direction the soldier was moving, or it's called an about face. True repentance is a complete turn. A partial one just won't do. And I'll read Luke 5:32. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Repentance being a reversal of decision. Keep in mind that 180-degree turn, like in the military. Luke 13:3, the Lord says, I tell you nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. So again, turning, complete about face. God commands every man to make this turn from their sin, repenting unto him. And that's in Acts 17:30. At the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Man can speak about repentance, but he must have the fruit of his contrite heart. Many professing Christians agree with repentance and its place in the gospel, but how many have the fruit of really turning to the Lord? And that's Matthew 3:8. Bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. As also in Acts 26:19-20, this is Paul in front of King Agrippa. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem, and throughout all of the coasts of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, and do works meet for repentance. So you cannot serve two masters, and you must leave one completely to serve the other. As spoken about before in my faith talk we did yesterday, serving is akin to slavery to or obeying. So I'll read Matthew 6:24 again. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve, which serve means be a slave to, obey, God and mammon, which if you remember, mammon is deified wealth, riches, treasure, anything in the earth. So you must lose your whole life to follow Christ. Make that 180-degree turn to follow Christ. Otherwise, you're not worthy of him. Total repentance is a prerequisite to serving the Lord and receiving his Holy Spirit. You can't be a part-in, part-out Christian. So I'll read Revelation 2, verse 5. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent to do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. And then the last verse I have here, which will lead into being born from above, Matthew 10:37-39. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. So that's all of the notes I have on repentance.
What say you, brothers, about repentance?
I would like to read from this is one of my favorite passages in Scripture about repentance. Ezekiel 18. Father Pergos, that's usually your scripture. Do you want to read it?
I'm going to read 1821. You go for it, brother. You go for it.
I'd read it then. Father Pergos usually likes bringing that one. I'm going to start at verse 20. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The Son shall not bear the iniquity of the Father, neither shall the Father bear the iniquity of the Son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. But if the wicked will turn from all his sins that he hath committed, and keep all my statutes, and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die. All his transgressions that he hath committed, they shall not be mentioned unto him. In his righteousness that he hath done, he shall live. Have I any pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live? But when the righteous turneth away from his righteousness, and committeth iniquity, and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? All his righteousness that he hath done shall not be mentioned. In his trespass that he hath trespassed, and in his sin that he hath sinned, in them shall he die. Yet ye say, the way of the Lord is not equal. Hear now, O house of Israel, is not my way equal? Are not your ways unequal? When a righteous man turneth away from his righteousness, and committeth iniquity, and dieth in them, for his iniquity that he hath done shall he die. Again, when the wicked man turneth away from his wickedness that he hath committed, and doeth that which is lawful and right, he shall save his soul alive. Because he considereth and turneth away from all his transgressions that he hath committed, he shall surely live, he shall not die.
I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah, there's more. This chapter, I would encourage anyone who's studying repentance, read the entire chapter of Ezekiel 18. It's basically God explaining what repentance, his way of repentance, to people who are kind of not understanding his way.
Amen. Yeah, repentance is not just a New Testament concept, is it?
No.
What say you, Brother Pergos?
I really liked what Brother Kuo did, and there is a couple verses I might want to bring up, if that's okay. Jeremiah 31:19. Surely after I was turned, I repented, and after that I was instructed. I smote upon my thigh. I was ashamed, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. You need an absolute abhorrence and hate of your previous life before Christ. You need to repent of all of it fully. You need to see it for the sin that was going to separate you from the Holy God. Yes, you definitely have to repent.
Amen. That reminds me of Matthew 3:8, one of my favorite verses on repentance. John the Baptist: bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. So repentance is a changing of the mind in the ways, as Brother Kuo said, and then comes with it is the fruit of repentance, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
What good is repentance that doesn't bring forth fruit? Say that again, brother. Say that. What'd you say, Brother Pergos?
He's looking up a scripture in Corinthians.
Oh, I'm sorry.
In Mark, it's interesting. In Mark, it says that when the disciples went out, when Jesus sent them out, it says, they went forth and preached that men should repent. And I know, I think we'd be a little remiss if we were talking about repentance and we did not talk about the most successful prophet when it came to repentance ever. The one prophet who preached repentance, and people actually repented him, and he didn't like it.
Yeah. Yeah, he had a little bit of he had a little bit of problem with that, didn't he?
Yeah. So Jonah 3. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city at a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he said that he would do unto them, and he did it not.
Yeah, go read Jonah if you want to learn about repentance.
It's quite the, it's actually, interesting side note here. This is not, like, it's not in scripture, it's in history. History says that this king of Nineveh, who humbled himself like this, it was either him or his grandson, or his son, I mean, was the king of Assyria. I don't remember. I think it was either this king or this king's son was the king. This was Assyria that God used to carry Israel into captivity because Israel would not repent.
Interesting. Yeah.
It is.
I've heard people say that.
It's not. It's in history, not in scripture.
Yeah.
But it would kind of be how the Lord would work. He'd use a pagan king who repented at his preaching, and a pagan nation who actually humbled themselves at his preaching, because it's definitely Nineveh was Assyrian, to carry captive his people who did not repent and killed his prophets.
Yeah, and I think it's interesting, this king, correct me if I'm wrong, I can't remember any other time in the Old Testament when somebody feared God so much that not only did the people put on sackcloth and ashes, but the animals put on sackcloth and ashes.
Yeah, it was like they completely humbled themselves.
Yeah.
Actually believed God. Hey, there's a concept. People say they have faith. If they'd actually believe God, don't you think they'd repent?
Yeah. And fear God. Yeah, these people feared God. Right?
Yeah, they did, but it's just because it says they believed God and then they repented. I mean, faith and then repentance. All these people claim to have faith but don't have repentance. They actually believe God then?
Wait, say that again, brother?
All these people who claim to have faith but yet they don't repent.
Yeah.
They actually believe God then?
No, they don't. 2 Corinthians 7:10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh to death. Let's talk about, when we talk about repentance, this is a big problem. Most everybody who claims to be a Christian says, oh yeah, repentance. But nobody knows what it really is. Some of them will get it right and go, yeah, you change your mind and your ways. But then when you start talking about what ways, what is true repentance? And people don't understand that we see it all the time. They don't even know what sin is. They don't even know what transgression of God's law is. They don't even know what fear of God is. And they truly don't repent of all things. They repent of a few things. Drunkenness, porn, drugs, maybe, you know, you shouldn't be an adulterer, but they don't repent of the world's ways, the culture, sports, politics, entertainment, pride, vanity, fashion, all that, come out of the world, and they don't repent of the churchianity ways. That's an incomplete repentance, isn't it?
Yeah.
You repent just of a few things, but you don't cleanse your life of all your transgressions. Have you really repented?
You haven't turned away from them.
No. No, I mean, you have to turn away from all sin if you truly want to be repentant. What sin can you stay in and claim you're repentant?
None.
Yeah. So that's the problem we see when we go out street preaching, is the people that claim Christ in America, I know it's that way in Canada too, they haven't even rightly repented. They haven't changed their minds or changed their ways. They haven't changed their direction. And many people feel repentance is just feel bad about your sin. But we're all a bunch of big sinners. We're just going to keep sinning. The other thing is, I hear this a lot. Maybe your brothers do. Oh, I repented once, 26 years ago. And I go, what do you mean once? And they go, well, yeah, I repented. I believed on Jesus. That was my repentance. Well, that's great. But what did that lead to? Did it lead to fruit worthy of repentance? And the Holy Spirit working in you? And most times it's not. So repentance has to not only be proclaimed, but doesn't it have to be rightly taught? Don't we have to rightly divide the word so people know what it even is?
Oh, yeah, you definitely need to define terms.
Define terms. Anything else on repentance, Brother Purgos, from you?
Two for two so far. So I'll go to a verse in Joel. And rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. So it's not an outward showing, it's a deep inward showing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great verse. I love that. Since you guys are reading from the Old Testament, I'll stay in the New. Romans 2:4. Oh, despise the riches of the goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God lead thee to repentance. So if people really know the goodness of God, what's it going to lead them to according to Scriptures?
Repentance.
Yeah. So if they say, oh, God is good, but they haven't repented, they either don't really believe that or they're just liars.
Yeah. I also have a parable. Somebody read from Matthew 21. I don't remember now.
No.
Okay. This is kind of the importance of repentance and how much it can mean that some people might say, yeah, I want to follow Jesus, but then they don't actually repent. They say they believe God, but they don't, versus someone who actually does repent. Jesus says, but what think ye? Matthew 21, verse 28. What think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go to work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. But afterward he repented and went. And he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whether of them twain did the will of his father? They say unto him, the first. Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you, that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you.
Yeah. Yeah, he always had cutting words, didn't he?
Yeah, because, okay, somebody, like, again, he did not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. Like, heaven rejoices more over the one lost sinner who repents than over the 99 who don't go astray. It's not that heaven doesn't care about those that they don't go astray, but repentance is an awesome thing. It means somebody who turns away from their sin and they turn to God.
Yeah.
It means that maybe they said, no, I won't, but then it repents and they turn and they go do it.
Yeah, because our God is a God of redemption. He's a redeemer. It's why Christ came, to seek and save the lost, right?
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. That's awesome. Hey, Brother Kuo, anything else on repentance?
No, I think you guys brought up some really good verses I'll have to take a look at. Like I've said, I'm not too familiar with the Old Testament, but there's a lot of repentance, even in the Old Testament, that I have to take a look at.
So. Yeah. Anything else, brothers?
Yeah, I got one. Sorry, I just... Repentance is one of those subjects that...
Oh, yeah. We could be here for hours on it, on repentance alone.
Yeah, but this is awesome, because I've had people in the street tell me, oh, repentance, you shouldn't preach repentance. It's not even an English word. People don't know what it means. I've been doing this for longer than you've been alive. You need to read more. I literally had people say that. But anyways, Jesus himself... This is so awesome. People love to hear about Christ crucified on the cross and the remission of sins. But listen to what Jesus said. He said, thus it is written, Luke 24, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. Here, there's the good news. and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Hey, so you mean when we go and we preach Christ crucified, we ought to preach repentance?
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what Bible that person would be reading from when they say that. I don't understand that. Maybe it's the same people that call us Mormons. I don't know.
Who knows?
Yeah. Yeah, you just read from Luke 24, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I'm just looking at it. Yeah, the repentance and the remission of sins should be preached in the name of all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. In his name, and all nations beginning in Jerusalem. Yeah, we're living in a culture that's pretty much repentance light, allergic to repentance. They all want to do their own thing. That's a terrible word. The preachers and the priests just don't use it because it offends people. But the truth of God offends people, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. It's not... It's not repentance isn't compatible with their greasy grace easy believism. I mean, you want to preach faith alone, grace alone, Jesus did it all, we got to do nothing. Well, whoops, Jesus said you're supposed to preach repentance.
Amen.
And remission of sins in his name.
Yeah. Yeah, repentance is how a heart is made ready for the things of God. Think about that. It's like there's a lot of parables about plowing a field and getting a field ready and all that. But you got a hardened, wicked heart, like Jerusalem, like Jeremiah says, the heart is deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? The heart needs to be prepared for the things of God, doesn't it?
Sort of like John the Baptist with his baptism of repentance.
Yeah. It's like we got to prepare our soil, and repentance is how we do that. And then, of course, it's all of God. Acts 17, God calls men everywhere to repent. But without that soil prepared, there's no way that the truth of God's going to grow in us. Brother Kuo's got a verse.
That brought a verse to mind. 2 Timothy 2, 20-21. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work.
Amen. Prepared for every good work. Yeah, that's what repentance gets us ready for via the Spirit and the Word of God. What a glorious thing. Amen, brothers?
Amen. Did somebody read Acts 3:19?
I don't think so.
Yeah, this is a good one. I actually got this in my gospel card. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah, that converted, that goes back to the Old Testament too.
Yeah, there's tons of scripture. We could be here all night with repentance.
Yeah, like what Peter said when they said, "What shall we do?" Repent. Repent. All right, brothers, I guess we'll leave that one right there unless anybody's got anything else.
That was all I had. Well, I'd have tons more, but I think we covered it.
Yeah, amen. I've got lots of articles on repentance at the teaching blog at don'tperish.com, and we talk about repentance all the time. We preach it in the streets every day, don't we?
Amen.
God be praised. Good job, brothers.
Amen.